Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. We are actually going to read all of that chapter. We will read Luke 15, verses 1 through 32, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, that's who you are. We need to be found as gracious, Father. And we can't do that on our own. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. We move through the Gospel of Luke. We've come through this great parable where Jesus said that you just go into the streets, you go into the alleys, you go into every corner of whatever you can find. And he says, and you bring me everyone. you bring me everyone. And after this point, he says to his disciples, if you want to follow me, he says, you have to take up your cross. Now we, in our self-righteous kind of pietist way of thinking, we think that somehow or another that means that we got to do something and that will make us more righteous before God. And that just shows how messed up we really are. What he's talking about here is something very, very different. He says, basically, you need to get on the same page I'm on. And he says, and in order to get on that page, it means abnegation. It means the giving up of oneself. It means the renunciation of one's own ideals, the renunciation of what one thinks. And he uses this illustration of the guy that goes out and is going to build a building, and he says, you know, if he's not able to finish it, then everyone will mock him. He says, talks about a king going to war and saying very clearly that, you know, you first have to count the cost of this before you do it. And then he brings this illustration and he says very clearly, salt is good, but if the salt loses its taste, he says, then how can it be seasonable? What can it do? He says it's not fit for anything. He says it's not fit for the land. He says it's not even fit for a dunghill. Can't even use it for fertilizer. He says, but people throw it out. He says, let the one who has ears hear what I'm saying. And it's from this point that he then says, regarding this thing, it says that all the tax farmers, and I've told you before what a tax farmer is, this is just an absolute scoundrel in their thinking. This is somebody that goes to the Romans, says, you know, these people owe you so much, and you don't have the wherewithal to run around collecting all of this, so I'll collect it for you at interest. You know, I want to take 5%. And the Romans say, okay, they hated these people, absolutely hated them, because they were their own people that were doing this to them. It says that these tax farmers and these sinners were constantly coming to him. They were coming to him. And you can understand this, because it says that then the Pharisees, the law scholars, all the people that knew everything in the Old Testament, they were starting to question this whole thing. How can you do this? How can you do this? Why would you ever do this? Why would you have this type of fellowship with these types of people? And that's precisely the point. Because he's God. God seeks fellowship with sinners. He seeks them. He's looking for them. He doesn't find this strange sort of separation that the Pharisees and the law scholars are thinking there should be. He doesn't have room for that. He draws sinful people to him. And he does this remarkable thing. He communes with them. He eats with them. Which, of course, to them was horrible. But that's precisely the point. You see, then he goes on to tell these two great parables of the guy who loses a sheep. And he goes out and he leaves the 99 because he doesn't have to protect them. They're okay. He's got to find that one sheep. He's always going to go after that one sheep because he loves all of his sheep. And he goes out and he gets that one sheep and he says, when he gets back, he says, it's time to party. You know, it's party time. He says, I got my sheep. I got my sheep. He says, please come and party with me. And Jesus says this great thing. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, there's a party in heaven. He says, there's a party in heaven. He says, as a matter of fact, the party in heaven is way bigger than this guy's party. The party in heaven is way bigger than this guy's party over one sinful person that will literally, what this word means, repent, it means that will change their mind about God. That's what that word means in Greek. That will change their mind about God and understand that God receives sinners. God has a party every time one person comes to this point and realizes that God is just that good, that God is really just that good, that God is that good without any restraint, that God is just freely that good. They doesn't follow any of our stupid rules that says this is what you need to do to come to church. What a pile of nonsense. We've got to understand the grace of God. We've got to understand a grace that is greater than all of our sin. All of our sin. And that's the only way we're on the same page with God. God has a grace that is greater than all of our sin. God has a grace where he comes and he eats with tax farmers and sinners. He isn't ashamed to be found amongst them. As a matter of fact, he is very pleased to be found with them because he loves them. Because he loves them. And Jesus tells this next parable about this woman. She's looking for a day's wage, basically, that she lost. She finds it. And she says, I have found it. I found this thing. And Jesus says, I'm telling you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God, the presence of the angels of God, the angels of God that surround us all the time. They rejoice over the fact, over one sinner that will realize God receives sinners. One sinner that will come to them. And then he tells this wonderful, wonderful parable. Talks about this guy. And we don't understand the full culture of this. This is about the most disgusting thing you can do. This kid goes to his father, and basically he tells him, I wish you were dead. That's what this is understood as in this culture. Goes to his father and says, I wish you were dead. You don't really mean anything to me at all. What I want is my inheritance. Just give me my inheritance. That's all. That's the only value you have to me. And he took that inheritance that he received because his father is very, very gracious. His father is very gracious to him. Gave him his part of his inheritance. He went, and you get this nice term. It says he wasted his substance with riotous living. His brother later isn't quite so nice about this. He said he spent it all on hookers. And all of a sudden, he's suffering. He's in a time of great famine. He's very hungry. He's got nothing. Winds up. And Jesus is doing this in the culture of the time to understand how far down this guy has come. He's out in some foreign country and he's going to feed pigs. No Jewish guy is going to do this at all. You know, and Jesus emphasizes this to realize this is what happens to him. He's got to feed pigs and he can't even eat what the pigs eat. He's got nothing. So he wakes up. Repents, changes his mind, understands something about his father. Says, how many hired servants does my father have? And they're eating. They've got stuff to eat. They got bread. They're well taken care of. He says, I'll go back to my father. And what I'm going to do is when I get there, I'm going to tell my father, I sinned. I did wrong. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I have no right to be a son anymore. He says, just make me one of the hired servants, he says. That way at least I'll have food. He gets up and goes to his father. And there's a great, Helmut Tielecki has a great sermon on this. I think it's Tielecki that has this sermon. It might be Jeremias, but says very clearly, he says, Jewish men do not run. As you understand, that was like a lack of dignity. A senior person doesn't run. You know, they don't run. You have to come to them. It says that when he was far off, long before he could even get there, his father sees him coming, and he ran. He ran to him. He ran to him. He ran to him. It says he fell on his neck and started to kiss him. He was just so happy to see him. So blessed to be able to see him. And the son starts to tell him. He starts to tell him, look, I'm miserable. He says, I did everything wrong. Father doesn't even listen to him. Doesn't acknowledge what he says. He says, I'm not even worthy to be a servant. I'm not worthy of any of these things. Just let me be here. Try to be a servant, you know. Let me try to make this up to you. Father doesn't even listen to him. Doesn't pay attention to one word he has to say. Simply says to his servants, he says, you bring forth the best robe I've got. He says, you give him the signet ring, which is the sign that he's part of the family. You give him the signet ring. He says, and you put shoes on his feet. And he says, and you go get the best calf we've got, the one we've been preparing for the big feast. He says, you go get it, you eat it, or you kill it, and let's eat. He says, because now it's time to party. He says, now it's time to party. He says, my son. He doesn't acknowledge him in any other way. He doesn't say the scumbucket sinner. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, my son was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. And it says, and they partied like crazy. They partied like crazy. We have the wrong picture of God. Especially within religion, we have the wrong picture of God. We're so stained by our self-interest, we have never learned the real sense of abnegation. We've never really learned what it means to deny ourselves because we think that somehow or another we impress God by making ourselves out to be bigger sinners. If we can just convince God that we feel bad enough about what rotten sinners we are, maybe God will let us into the kingdom. Instead of realizing God already knew what rotten sinners we were. He already knew it. And knowing it, knowing that, sent Jesus to save us. Shed the blood of the Holy Lamb to party over us. God is not some mean, thoughtless, hard-hearted being that's waiting up in heaven like some sort of ridiculous bean counter, sitting down here looking at the earth saying, oh, look at these sins. God already saw all of the sin from its beginning to its end. And from the foundation of the world, he gave us Jesus. Knowing precisely who and what we are, for this one purpose, so that we could freely come to him and he would fall on our neck. He would weep over us. He would receive us with thanksgiving, and he would bless us with a feast. That's what we understand, the Paschal banquet of the blessed, the feast. We realize the feast that God has prepared, the feast that God has, the feast, and God is feasting, and God is waiting until the day when he sees us. It's the elder son. Joachim Jeremiah says this very clearly. He says this is the parable of the elder son. The elder son is the problem, because that's the whole context of it. It's that these people were upset over the fact that Jesus would eat with these sinners. It's the elder son that's the problem. The prodigal son, as we call it, he's no problem. He's just received. The father says, you don't have to give me a list of all the stuff you've done. I already know all those sort of things. Everything's done for you. He says, you're my son. I receive you as my own. The elder son, he's the problem. All of a sudden, he hears all this music and dancing. And we understand that, right? Because you're not supposed to do this stuff. You're not supposed to enjoy your life that much. You know, you have to be careful with that stuff. So he hears all that going on because he's really religious. You know, he's really the religious guy. He's very religious. And he understands, boy, they better have a good reason for doing this. And you understand right away what's happened here is he's been about as disobedient as you can be. Because now he's thinking that he should be in the place of the father. He's thinking that the father doesn't know apparently what he's doing here. And this is precisely the problem with religion. It makes us to be that we think that we should be the father. That we make up the rules. And that's what Jesus was talking about in the 14th chapter. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to be on my page. You've got to be like me. It's the elder son that's the problem. And he says, what's going on here? He says, why is this going on? And what he's saying basically is, this doesn't fit with my approval. You know, I don't approve of this. This is not. Nobody ever asked me if this was okay. And the servant tells him, well, this is what happened. Your brother came home. And your dad is partying. You know, your dad is just overwhelmingly happy with this. And then you see the response. It says, but he was angry. Now, honestly, how many religious people do you know that are happy? I'll tell you what, they're in short supply. What there is a steady litany of complaint about everything that's going on in the world. The world is a miserable place, and if it's not, I'll make it more miserable. You know, if I can find something to be miserable about, that at least will make me at least mildly happy. If I can find a little bit of misery, if I can build on some misery, then life is good. Because I'm a miserable sinner, and that's what we do. We run around all of our life. We're like, you know, and maybe you don't like this, but the culture of Monty Python, if you ever see that, they run around whacking themselves in the head with a 2x4, you know, because at least that makes them happy. You know, now I'm being really miserable to myself. It's not God. It is not God. That's what Jesus was talking about. We need to deny ourselves. Take up the cross, which is the sign of God's forgiveness. And follow me, he says. That's how you follow me. The father has to go out to this elder son. And he tries to, he's begging him, is what this says. He says he's begging him, come on in and join the feast. You know, come on in. He says, this is just a great time. And he basically says, I'm not going to do that. He says, because I'm offended by all of this. I'm offended at your grace. I'm offended at your mercy. I'm offended by this. It's because I've been here the whole time. He says, I never did anything like that. I'm not like this guy that went out and spent his whole living on hookers. I didn't do anything like that. I've been here the whole time. I've been very, very faithful. I've just been a very, very faithful son. He says, you didn't even give me a baby goat. He says, you didn't give me anything. He got this fattened calf. He says, he got this whole big thing. He says, you didn't even give me a goat. Father says to him, you are wrong. You missed it. He says, all along, he says, you've had everything. He says, you had everything I had. He says, I never withheld anything from you. I gave you everything. But what he's saying is, in your religion, you refused to accept it. You just wouldn't accept it that I would be that good to you. He says, I gave it all to you. And so you need to understand. He says, we're having a party. And the party's going to go on in spite of you. He says, if you don't want to join in the party, that's up to you. But the party is going on because your brother was dead. And now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. And now you know, John Newton didn't write that on his own. He stole it from Jesus. When he wrote Amazing Grace, he didn't write that on his own. He stole that from Jesus. He stole the words right out of here. To understand very clearly that Newton realized that he was lost. But because of God's amazing grace, He's found. You see, when we deny ourselves and we follow after Jesus, what happens is we find ourselves. That's what he uses in another context. He says, the person who does that finds themselves. They find themselves. And this is why in this world, what we need is grace. We need grace. And just when we think that we've given too much of it, that's when we understand that we have to give all the more. We give all the more. Because the only answer that there is for the sin of the world is in God's only begotten Son, in the shedding of his blood, who freely now draws all people to himself and says, you just come to me. Says, you just come to me. Says, I don't need to know your laundry list. I don't need to know all those sorts of things. He says, I already knew all of that. You just come. You come to me. This last hymn we're going to sing today. You know, I don't know if you grew up in that time. I did. You grew up in the great time of the Billy Graham. Great, wonderful, wonderful revivals that he would have. And at every one of them, he closed them with this song. And people, you would see these people in these stadiums just empty out to come there. Just as I am. Just as I am. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Christ crucified. I come. You see, that's the whole key. It's Christ crucified. I come. I come. I've overcome myself. I finally have overcome myself. So yeah, I come. What do I come for? For that grace, for that mercy, for that peace, for that love, for that moment when I feel that embrace, when the Father is on my neck crying, thankful to see me. I come. I come. And I keep coming. I keep coming. Because I need it every hour. I need it every day. I need that grace. I need that grace. I come. I come. I can't exhaust it. It's still there. It's always there. Our world needs to come. It needs to hear and realize, no, we haven't shut the door on you. We won't shut the door on you. No matter what, your God will not shut the door on you. He will not close his eyes to you. He will not remove you. He will not do this to you. He will, as a matter of fact, receive you. He receives you. So you come. And this is this wonderful place. This is what he told this parable for. Don't wonder that I eat with these tax farmers and sinners. He says, those are people that are willing to eat with me. He says, they come to me. I eat with them. You bet I eat with them. I'm going to keep eating with them. He says, and heaven's going to be full of them. And he says, why don't you just come along too? To those Pharisees and those religious people. He says, why don't you just come along too? Because this is the party that never ends. This is the joy that is eternal. This is life and life everlasting. And that's our comfort. See, that's our comfort. It's not that we can make ourselves such rotten sinners that God somehow will do something about it. That doesn't work. It's that knowing all of that, God says, come. You come. You come. I freely receive you because the blood of my Son covers you. The blood of my Son forgives you. The blood of my Son gives peace to your soul. The blood of my Son gives you life. The blood of my Son is your invitation written in blood. And the blood of my Son is for you and for everyone forever. Don't be miserable another minute. It doesn't work in front of God. God sees right through it. You be filled with joy. And you be filled with peace. And you be filled with hope. And you know the everlasting life and love of God your Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. And be filled by his Holy Spirit with that assurance. And live. Live. For God's sake, live. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, who is like you? There is no one. There is no one like you. No one. No one can have this type of grace. No one can have this mercy. But you have it all, and you give it away. You give it away freely. You summon sinners to your table, and you eat with them. You fellowship with them. You wash them and cleanse them in the blood of the Lamb. You give them peace, and you give them life for eternity. And Father, you simply bid us to come, 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 come. Who can imagine such a thing? We can't. That's why your word has to remind us all the time. Your word has to tell us, yes, that's really how I am. That is really how I am. So, Father, we come. This day we come to you. Every day we come to you for that grace that we need so desperately. and we receive it. Because you love us so desperately. Grant us that understanding, Father, and grant us to bring the same into your world that you have blessed through your Son. That yet still people may hear that glorious gospel and come to you, and find that peace and that hope. This we ask, Father, for the sake of him who freely gave himself for us, that we might be found in you. Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.